Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Our Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our program tonight with Madani Channel. Let's kick off tonight. Tonight, inshallah, Azawajal, we got Harun bhai. MashaAllah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, jazakallah. A very important topic that we have chosen is sometimes a person, he thinks, well, I'll give you an incident. A buzurg rahmatullahi ta'ala li, a person came to him and he said that, Ya Sayyidi, give me some nasihat, some words of wisdom. And the Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said to him that whenever you decide to commit a sin, leave the land of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Ibrahim bin Adham
Rahmatullahi. He says, leave the land of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the person, he says that, how can I leave the land of Allah Azza wa Jal? Wherever I go, Allah Ta'ala is the Malik, He's the owner. And Ibrahim bin Adham Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said to that person, if you cannot leave the land of Allah Azza wa Jal, then why do you commit sins? Now, sometimes people think that, you know, they could be sat at home, the door's locked, no one's watching, and then I can commit any sin I want. Halanke, that is something that we need to understand, is that Allah Azza wa Jal is always aware of us. And this is what our topic of today is, sinning in secret. You know, and per person, he thinks to himself that he is sinning, no one is watching him, no one is looking at him, yet Allah Ta'ala is always aware. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. Ji Harun bhai, I want you to start off with something, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, so that we can continue program.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ji Hafsab, the topic is a very, very important one and a very interesting one. And because as we go on with time in this modern era, this is becoming a very grave cancer of society.
Mm-hmm.
In the olden days, what people were in front of you, the difficulty was, to an extent when we were younger as well, you had to go to commit sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so people could see you and that was a deterrent and everything else. These days, the sin's coming to you. And, you know, people can commit sins in the privacy of their own homes, in the privacy of their own rooms, and nobody knows. And so there are two real problems that the scholars identify. One is a psychological problem, and one is a spiritual problem. Now, in relation to the psychological, simply because we don't kind of acknowledge it that much, what we develop is a mindset that nobody's watching. And psychologically, there are certain triggers which will trigger us towards the sin. Let me give you an example. If you know that if you sit around a computer with the internet after Isha Salah, 10 o'clock, after everybody's gone to bed, and you're browsing the net, you will fall into sin.
Yeah.
Then the trigger, what we'll do is, you may be watching something and you think, no, I'm fine. And then there'll be a trigger. That trigger is actually a psychological problem, and it's waswasas of the shaitan.
Mm.
So a lot of our youngsters, they'll think, I'm not watching anything wrong, and they'll be watching a movie and something bad will come up and that will trigger something and then off they go, nobody's watching.
Especially, you know, when you're on the internet, there's so many pop-ups that come up and, you know, sometimes you're enticed to click them as well. I've heard loads of stories about that as well.
It leads to a problem where, you know, as soon as you get into the situation that you've designed, and I'm going to come to kind of the identify more the situation and the possible cures to it. And then the second problem, so first is a psychological problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the second, more importantly, is a spiritual problem. Because the very famous waqia about Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah alayhi kind of highlights that, because when he said to the man, you know, when you want to commit a sin, get out of the land of Allah. And he said, ya Shaykh, what sort of advice is that?
Yeah.
How can I get out of the land of Allah? Everywhere is, you know. And yes, one of the advices he gave was particularly important and, you know, essential for a crucial for our point today. He said, when you want to commit a sin, go and hide somewhere where Allah can't see you. Now, the man again said, he said, how can I hide from Allah? Now, we all know that, Hafizah, we can't hide from Allah.
Yeah.
The problem is, the shaitan gives us the waswasa, the nafs and the shaitan work together, and we forget that temporarily. Insan is forgetful, nisyan, it comes from nisyan.
Yeah.
And insan, you know, from the Hadith of Mubarakah, it says that, you know, man is one who constantly falls into failure, and he has to bring himself back. So it's not one you do a guna and that's it. You constantly try. It's a cycle where you've got to bring yourself back and repent. Now, as far as we are concerned spiritually, we've got to protect ourselves and acknowledge. Now, the beautiful Kashful Mahjub Sharif by Hazrat Datta Ali Hajviri Rahmatullah Ali kind of really sums up our state of mind. At the beginning, Hazrat Datta Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes that there was a rich man, and he had a gardener, and the gardener had a very beautiful wife. So this man's intentions were bad. So he sends the gardener away and says, go and do this, and he thought he's going to be gone for a few days or a few hours. And he calls the woman, and he says to her, can you go and close all the windows and doors of the house? So she goes and she closes all the windows and doors, and she comes back. When she comes back to him, he says, have you closed all the windows and doors? And she says, all barring one. I've not been able to close one particular door. So he says, which door is that? Thinking it was the door of his house, or thinking it was a window. And she says, I've not been able to close the door of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Oh, yeah, subhanAllah.
That door is open. Now straight away, and this is the very important bit, straight away the man realized, and he repented, and she went. Now, this is important. Didn't that man know? The scholars write something very beautiful. Didn't he know Allah was watching? What the shaitan had done is taken it from his thoughts and put it at the back, because the nafs and the shaitan took over. And as soon as you remind yourself of that, that Allah is watching, then suddenly you wake up.
You know, Nigrani Shura once mentioned in his bayan that you know, to keep away from these sins, there's only one thing that is very, very crucial, and that is to have the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. When you have the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, you will keep yourself away from these sins as well. And, you know, today's topic, I don't think I've ever discussed this topic myself, about, you know, sinning secretly, how people, you know, think that they can get away with everything because no one is watching.
You see, everything we do, it's a bit like, you know, a lot of people watching, viewers of Madhini Channel will understand this. You know, over the last 5-7 years, you've had a lot of this karma, where you do something wrong and it comes back to haunt you. You do something right and it gives you good luck. And that isn't an alien concept, because, you know, Islamically, your deeds will come back to haunt you.
Bishuk.
And the glorious Quran says that the calamities you face are because of your own hands. And those who do good may see some temporary difficulties in the short term, but in the long term, what happens is that they are the ones who are successful. Now, the key to stopping yourself sinning secretly, see, sometimes what happens after is we think that I am strong. We give ourselves this amazing superpower where we think I can fight everything. And it gives us it's a classic example of the young man, and this happens millions of times over in the world, where the parents say, the father says, don't hang around with this crowd, and he says, no, it's not them, even if they're bad, I'm good, so therefore I will be fine. And there's a story which is very beautiful, because there was a father who had a similar sort of situation, and a lot of fathers will face this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to his son, look, you're with the wrong crowd, and what you've got to do is break away from these, or else you'll get yourself into trouble. And the son's consistently saying, no, it's me, I'm good. So one day the father says to him, why don't you go to the marketplace and get me a couple of kilos of good apples, and they need to be really good. So he goes off, he gets a couple of kilos of apples, he comes back. And he says, now, I want you to go back, and I want you to get me 1 kilo of the rotten apples. Right? So he gets the rotten apples, he comes back, and what the father does is puts them all into one basket. And he says, just put them to one side, and we'll look at them tomorrow. So come tomorrow, when they bring the basket out, the rotten apples had actually desecrated all the others as well. Why? Because the germs that they had and the deterioration that they had affected all the
apples.
Passed on to others. And so, those in that situation, what happens is this. When it's guna, when it's sin, when it's depravity, when it's corruption, it spreads fast.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the youngsters say, well, I'm fine, and it's others. That is the biggest danger, because you're with the wrong crowd. Now, spiritually, and what you have, Hafsab, is this. There was a beautiful kind of example. You see, what we do in this world is we do a lot of training for our physical. You can see the youngsters, they're in the gym, you know, lifting weights and running on treadmills and all that, yeah? And spiritually, they're zero. Physically, they're brilliant. Why? Why are they spiritually zero? Because they don't protect their salah. Those who do read salah, it's almost a chore for them. And they don't build their Islamic knowledge. And it's a lack of, you know, education. It's just ignorance that gets them. And they think, well, it's not important. But actually, it's eating away like a rot and destroying their life. Now, if you had the education, you would realize that if it's a life of sin, yeah, it doesn't matter who is watching, you will pay the consequences. Mm. The problem we have is that we live in a society where my image is everything. My image that you see, I will go out of my way to do. Everything I put on Facebook has to be perfect. Mm. I will sit in front of, the men even, will sit in front of the mirror doing makeup.
It's all about being materialistic, you know. And you know, you've seen a lot of people where, you know, they don't spend enough time, you know, like you mentioned, spiritually, ruhaniyat is not even there. Or, you know, even when you talk to them, you know, for example, I was talking to an Islam brother, he's a bodybuilder. And, you know, the type of clothing that these guys wear. And I said to him that, look, you know, this is not appropriate thing. Would you ever show your body, you know, the way you are showing it to the whole world? You know, there might be people there taking photos of you and everything. Would you stand like that in front of your whole family? And he goes, no, I won't. You know, so why are you doing that? It's because the Islamic education, that fear of Allah Ta'ala is not there. You know, people think that, you know, when, you know, astaghfirullah, maybe Allah Ta'ala is not watching me here, so I can do whatever I want.
You see, when we're doing a Facebook post, for example, you know, the brothers will dress up and everything else and make sure everything looks perfect, the lighting's right and everything else. When they stand in salah, they'll stand in 3/4 in a t-shirt without a hat. And therein lies your difficulty. The problem with the spirituality side is, and I'm going to come back to the kind of psychological side as well, but the spiritual side is that a lot of people try and live life without a spiritual guide, a pure mushid. Now that is very, very dangerous, because shaitan will take him wherever he wants. And when you have a spiritual guide, that guide will guide you both in, you know, so it's like Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakat Malaliya. You know, we didn't know how to pray namaz properly. The Madni environment of Dawat Islami taught us that. We didn't know how to eat properly. The Madni environment and the Madni kafir of Dawat Islami taught us that. We didn't know how to read the Quran correctly. The Madni environment of Dawat Islami taught us that. We didn't know, you know, the translation and the tafsir of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, the Madni environment of Dawat Islami taught us that. We didn't know how to deal with our parents, our relatives. The Madni environment of Dawat Islami taught us all of that.
You know, basically, Dawat Islami has taught us how to live.
She taught us how to live. Now, the point is this. We affiliated ourselves, we took this opportunity,
alhamdulillah.
And alhamdulillah, it helped us change. Now, what you want to do is make sure you stay affiliated with the group, with Dawat Islami and with your Pir Murshid. I'll tell you why. The scholars and the Buzurgan-e-Din, they use a, the pious predecessors, they use a very beautiful example. And what they say is this. You know when you have a flock of sheep and you've got wolves in the woods? If the flock of sheep all stay together and stay with the shepherd, they will be protected. But what if a sheep wanders off on its own? That sheep is in danger.
Indeed.
If I become weak, because without the networking, I start to break away. Now, as soon as you step out there, the angry wolves are there. And when you're on your own, if you stay in the pack, if I ring you, I say, Havasab, how are you? Havasab, you know, and you can give me Madni pearls. If I ring, you know, Khalid Bay, if I ring the brothers, if I ring, you know, I keep in touch. I'm still in the environment, aren't I?
You know,
I'm still with the flock of sheep.
I was talking to an Islam brother, and he goes, you know, I won't. You know, basically, he did know that he was, you know, he was committing a sin by even telling me this, yeah. And he was saying that, look, you know, I've really gone far. I need your help. Even just now, I was in Birmingham today on the way back here. I got a call from, you know, a parent, and you know, it's exactly the same. You know, please, can you come and help us? You know, our son is drifting away, and there's so many people like that out there because of not being in the mahol. You know, when you're part of the mahol, you know, one day, 2 days, or you know, a week later, you're gonna get a call. How are you, Madina? Everything okay? Have you filled in your Madina Mad? Have you watched the Madina Muzakara? So but what happens is, you know, you revitalize your energy again and you start coming back in. And if you've got no one to talk to you, obviously then you've had it.
That one phone call, I mean, the category I was starting off with, Hafizah, was the Dawat Islami's Beautiful Network. But Dawat Islami's Beautiful Network actually is not only made up of the Islamic brothers who run around and do the work, may Allah Azza reward them, but it is also made up of all the people who attend the Fizani Medina or online, and all the brothers and sisters all the way around the country. Absolutely, your one phone call might change my life.
Bishop.
You know, if I'm in this road of sins, and I'm going down this path which is leading me on the wrong way, maybe your one phone call saying, you know, Harun, how are you? How's namaz going? How are things going? Alhamdulillah, this is happening. We've got this online course for you. If you're going to Zoom, Alhamdulillah, we're having a little Madani gathering with just a few brothers. Do you want to come in on Zoom and we'll have a chat and we'll have, you know, we can all have our own cups of tea and, you know, and it might just change my life.
Yes, sir. And you know, the thing is, Harun Begay, at this moment of time, it's very, very important that we do keep in contact with these people as well. You know, it's really hard, you know, building up to that. You know, like they say, preparing someone, taking them up to that level. You know, it took so many years and effort and, you know, so much hard work to build that person's, you know, caliber to get him up there. But the shaitan will just take a minute to take him away from that.
Well, the example I gave is very important. And I want, if, you know, all our kind of zimmedari Islami, by these are the senior brothers who have been the backbone of Dawat Islami, you know, and some of us, you know, are in where we are because of these brothers. What I would say is, if you are going through this, just remember the analogy of the flock of sheep and stay there. But usually what happens is, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, it's the senior brothers are very strong. You throw them into any situation, Alhamdulillah, I always like to say they land on their feet. It's the weaker ones like me, yeah, who are on the periphery. Now, people who are, you know, strong, they need to pull these people back.
I was talking to an Islamic brother the other day. I think you might have received a text from me as well. And I thought, how can we, you know, get people involved in doing something good? So, mashallah, Hafiz Ilyas from Dewsbury came up with an idea. And we started talking about that. You know, why do we not put a committee? You know, like a lot of people put a committee in for money and all that. So, you know, we started talking about that, how we're going to go forward. So we said, look, we'll call it a committee. We might get some, you know, feedback from the people. And, you know, I'll be honest with you that, out of about 700 people, I did get about 34 replies back. You know, we want to join this committee. And I just want to tell the viewers as well, this committee is not about money. It's about every week reading one para of the Quran. Yeah, it's only one para. You've got the whole 7 days to read the para and then 1,000 durood e paak. So what's going to happen is, at least these 34 people are going to be connected, aren't they? They're going to stay connected, they're going to read the Quran, and from there, so many things can start up as well. And that was one of the reasons why Amir al-Sunnah gave us the Madani Namat as well. you know, that we, you know, we always sit at home, you know, think about this and, you know, and try to, you know, there's so many things of Dawat. Dawat Islami is not just a TV channel, it's not just a weekly ijtima. Dawat Islami is where, you know, it gives us opportunity to do things every single day.
You see, what a lot of brothers, they sit home, and especially in this time, and they think, what can I do? And what difference is it going to make? And it reminds me of the old story that Khalid Bey used to tell. And there was a king who announced that here's a pit, and can everybody come and put a jug of milk into it? And in the morning, when he got up, it was full of water. And what had happened is everybody thought, well, everybody else is going to put milk in, so I'll throw some water in. It doesn't matter, does it? Yeah. And everybody had thought the same thing. Now, it's very important that we all make that effort, because your little effort can go a big way. And, you know, at the end of the day, what is important, Hafsab, is this, that the Ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam need us. You know, and sometimes the shaitan puts a wasfasa in our heads. I was looking at, you know, I'm not a big fan of social media, but I was looking through the other day some bayans, and you know, some mubaligs were putting on things, and mashallah, may Allah azwaja reward them, they put on little bayans or little, you know, hadith in mubarak or something like that. Then they read from alhamdulillah dawatislami.net, the bayans there and things, and I was looking at the views, and it was like 34 views, 25 views, 50 views. And then further down, as you're scrolling down, there was young lads or brothers here who just put kind of a snapshot of a park, or, you know, a snapshot of themselves. Like 500 views, 1,000 views. I thought, yeah, this guy's gone to all this time and effort. It's like, you know, Mashallah, you do clips as well, don't you? And you think, this guy's gone to all this time and effort, and he's done this, and yet people can't be bothered to view it. So is it really worth it? And I thought, no, even if one person watches it. Because it reminds me of that pious man of Allah, you know, he was doing the bayan at Jummah, and he did the bayan, finished, and a man came up to him and he said, Hazrat, I usually come a long way, and I listen to your bayan, and I read Jummah behind you. Today, I'm very upset because I missed the bayan, I got late. So I missed the bayan. I managed to get my Jummah, but alhamdulillah, Jummah was okay, but I'm sad because I missed the bayan. And the Buzurg, alhamdulillah, said, huh? Sat him down and he repeated the whole of the bayan again.
Subhanallah.
And the people, you know, said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're repeating the whole of the bayan for this one person. He said, no, I did the bayan the first time for Allah Azza wa Jal, and I repeated it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whether there's one person in front of me or there is 1,000, it doesn't matter.
Subhanallah.
And so this is what we have to do. So this is just encouragement, because you know, the brothers of Alhamdulillah Dawat Islami, they have a special kind of affairs from Amir al-Sunnat. And so Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed you that your words, your sympathies, and your little phone call and your help could change somebody's life.
You know, Harumbe, sometimes when we say that, you know, it's only one person, you know, any part of your life where you've had someone approaching you, I'll tell you, I was in Blackburn once, and I had a bayan, and an Islamic brother approached me, mashallah, Dari Sharif, Imama, and he was, mashallah, you know, very happy to see me as well. So we got talking, and he goes, I don't think you're going to recognize me. And I goes, look, I'm really sorry, I haven't recognized you. And he goes, back in 2005, you came to Blackburn with the Madani Qafila. And I attended that Madani Qafila. I used to sit in the study circles, and you invited me to come to the Ijtima, weekly Ijtima. From there on, I have never missed the Ijtima. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you know, I'm 5 times Namazi and everything. And it just makes you, you know, sometimes think that, you know, one little invitation towards goodness, how, you know, he says, I didn't have a beard. I was really, you know, I had a good education, a good job. So I was one of them guys that, you know, were chilling out a lot. But you go, subhanAllah, with your efforts. And I thought to my, you know, it's not our efforts. Maybe I've just said a few words. But subhanAllah, you know, Allah Ta'ala can change any in your life that someone's come up to.
You know, I was at a brother had passed away, and I went to do Fatiha in Blackburn. And, you know, alhamdulillah, we have a habit in the Madani environment of Dawat Islami that if the gatherings we're in, we try to talk about religious stuff. So we talked about alhamdulillah namaz and the importance of it, and this brother passing away. He died quite young. And I came out, and I remember still, I walked down the steps, and a brother approached me. And he said, you know, Harun Bhai, many, many years ago, you spoke to me about namaz and everything else. And alhamdulillah, I've been reading namaz since. And I'd never see, I can't remember him. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'll be honest with you. I couldn't remember him.
I still
didn't recognize him. And I've never seen him since as well. Yeah. So maybe somewhere I met him and I've said something. And alhamdulillah, you know, maybe if I did it with ikhlas, that is a sadaqa jariyah. But the important thing is, your words change the lives of people. And this is why it's very important. But I think we're getting sidetracked. I just wanted to come back to our topic because there's a lot to discuss on sinning secretly. What it is, sometimes there are certain triggers. So there are certain sins that you will not do because of the environment you're in.
Yeah.
So, for example, and this may sound, a bit extreme, but say you're walking down the street and I'm walking with you. And I always like to give my own example rather than somebody else's. I will not look at the wrong thing, maybe because I'm with Hafsa, right? And I will not go and shout at people. I will not do any sins because of the company I'm with. Right? You won't go and commit overnight. You won't go into the masjid, will you, and take out your Facebook page and start looking at women, will you?
No.
Why? Because there's people around?
Yeah.
And you have consciousness as well.
Yeah. It's
the house of Allah. But what is it about the house of Allah?
You know, it's a special place. Allah
no, but you know that like bad when they say, oh, the masjid is not allowed. Is it permissible outside? They do that, don't they? Yeah, in exactly the same way. Why are you so God-conscious in the masjid, but you're not God-conscious outside?
Outside, yeah.
It's not as if Allah Azza wa Jal can see you in the masjid and knows about Allah Azza wa Jal, He can't see you outside. He can see you everywhere. So it's all about the state of the mind that you have. And so what you have to do is look at what triggers you. Say, for example, if you're home alone, family have gone out, and you've got a habit of looking at the wrong thing on the internet, then you've got to make sure you don't go home alone. So if everybody's out, you think, right, on Friday night, they're going there, I'm going to go to my brother's house, spend a bit of time there. I'm going to go to my sister's house, spend a bit of time there. It will save me from this sin. I'll tell you an example that I've quoted many times. A relative of mine, many, many years ago, mashallah, may Allah reward him, he had three daughters. And he came to me one day, and he was a bit upset, and he said, three daughters, they're all kind of school, college age. And he said, they want computers and everything else now. And I don't want to give them computers in the bedroom. So he goes, I don't know what to do because they're saying they need it for homework. So we devised a very good plan. So what we did is, in the living room, we set up a computer for them, direct feed from the internet. And we faced the screen towards the living room. We said, spend all day on it. Go as long as you want. And so everybody was coming out. And what it does is this. A lot of people, they say, oh, we'll trust them.
Indeed.
Going to your bed. That's where you go wrong.
Indeed.
Once you start to go down this slippery slope, you know, you've got the shaitan and the nafs and the young blood. They start
you
to...
Know, again, Harun Bhai, you mentioned, yeah, you know, for them, for you to say that I trust them, you know, you need to be 100% positive and sure that your upbringing was so good that inshallah they will not deviate from that. And you know, for us, you know, we've hardly ever been at home, and you know, our upbringing is like that as well. How can you trust you?
I would go further than that, Hafsab. I would say that even if your upbringing is perfect, would you hand fire into your child's hand? Would you say, but you know, if it's cold at night, here's a few logs, just light a fire in one corner of the bedroom and leave it there to burn overnight, keep it nice and warm. You wouldn't do it. No matter how well trained. Say you've got a young son who's 14, 15, and he's been going regularly on treks, yeah, in the jungle. He knows how to build fires. He's very streetwise. You wouldn't say, put them, go to sleep, we'll light a fire in your room. You wouldn't do it. Why would you give them internet? Why would you give them the tool of the shaitan, no matter how pious they are? Because we've heard many, many stories of how the shaitan deceives. I mean, you remember that famous waqia about the guy in Bani Israel who was spending, you know, the abid, he was spending days and nights in worship, and the three brothers who left their sister, and he said, I don't want anything to do with her. And then gradually they convinced him, and then where did that end up?
Yeah.
And, you know, his iman went, and this is why what you've got to do is be wise about this. Your children should not have Wi-Fi in their bedroom, full stop, capital letter. If they need to do their work, they need to do it at in the living room with the computers. Yeah. If you're going to have TVs, you need to control it. Foolish are those people, Afsab, who have got these chip boxes. Yeah, the fraud anyway, because they're chipped, yeah? Belly GZK is fraud. Secondly, even if it wasn't, say it was legitimate, why are you putting 200 channels with guns on them, filth on them, into your house, then giving the remote into the hands of your children to watch whatever they want?
That's like calling the shaitan and, you know, saying to him, come in, you know, do whatever you want. We need to think to ourselves that time has really changed. You know, for someone to say, it's all right, you know, I let my children chill out a bit as well. Or, you know, I was talking to one Islamic brother, and it was really hard to convince the person. And it's like, you know, have you got anything at home, a parental, you know, a switch at home for your internet or anything like that? He goes, nah, yara, you know, you need to be trusting your children. Always, you know, be on top of them like a shadow. I goes, look, end of the day, what's going to happen is, if you're not on top of them like a shadow, you know, then what's going to happen is, you know, maybe, astaghfirullah, Allah, na kare, they might fall into a trap.
And you see, sorry,
one Islam brother, he rang me up, yeah, and he goes, my son, he was doing a computer degree, and he was sat in his room. I gave him the internet, the laptop, everything. And what happened was, you know, them pop-ups, you know, he goes, his son was telling him, a pop-up came up. You know, why don't you bet £50 free bet? So with betting, the guy nearly lost £10,000 on the bets. And he was in a place where, you know, he was getting more sunk into it. You know, it's a good job that he came, you know, to myself as well. That he told me the story. We gave him ta'wizat, some wazaif and some, you know, nasihat that, you know, this is what you need to do. And alhamdulillah, you know, is far away from it now. Mm. But can you see that person, because he trusted himself so much, and he nearly lost his son.
See, this is the fallacy that people have. So basically what they do is that they convince themselves, my child is very good, yeah? And they do the tarif, they do the praise of their own children until it hits them hard. Now let's look at the reality. And, you know, I want the viewers of Madni Channel to listen to this very carefully. The environment that we grew up in was very different.
Did you?
Anybody who's now between 40 and 55, 60, the environment we grew in is very different.
Very good.
Now, you know, in those days, we used to, you know, in those days, people had to go to do the guna. Now it's coming to you. So once you give them these tools, the shaitan has got a beautiful trap laid for them.
Sure.
So what he says is, I told you that the one I had was, there's a guy in Makkatul Mukarramah here. Makkatul Mukarramah, taxi driver. And alhamdulillah, I was traveling from the blessed city of Makkah Park to Madinah al-Munawwarah, and I got a taxi. And he had near his ear, I still remember it, he had a phone, you know, them old Nokia type phones, not these smartphones. And so we stopped and we started chatting on the way and everything. So I asked him, I said, is that the phone you've got? He goes, yes, I had one of them, but I got rid of it. And he said, what happened is this. Somebody introduced me to the social media, Facebook or whatever, and he goes, I used to go on, and I learned, you know, how to do it, and I tilawat al-Quran, and then in the groups that were coming up, because I assume, I don't know, but the groups that come up are your friends, what they're watching and everything else. So he goes, I used to flick through, and I used to say tilawat al-Quran, I used to click on it, yeah? So he's clicking on any religious beyond and tilawat and everything else. And then he goes, as I was scrolling through, in the initial period, and this is a guy who lives and works in Makkatul Mukarramah, because in the initial period, if anything wrong came up, flick on, yeah? It goes, gradually, then, I started to take an interest in it. Oh, just watch this video. So I started clicking it. And then, that love of the Quran disappeared, and this came in. Then what happened was, when I was at work, I was driving a taxi. I was long journeys, you know, Jeddah, Makkah Park, you know, distances. So I couldn't do it in the car, and because my phone's on the dashboard, I've got customers, I couldn't do it. So I used to wait to get home, and I used to sit there and go through all these videos. And initially it started off with the Quran, and then that went. then it was kind of religious things, then that went, then it was funny videos, then that went, and gradually I came on to the filth. And I got into a habit of finishing work, going straight home, and this is somebody in Makkatul Mukarramah, going straight home and spending hours watching filth. And eventually I thought to myself, what have I done with myself? And the shaitan had taken me. I'm blessed with working in the city of Makkatul Mukarramah, and a shaitan has taken me from there on a slippery slope over a period of a few months.
What chance do we have? You know, this is someone who lived in Makkah, the most blessed city on earth.
And he got rid of his phone. Yeah. He got rid of the temptation.
And there's so many, you know, like for example, young children, you know, his 11th birthday, 10th birthday. I had someone where, you know, his son's 10th birthday, and you know, he asked me, and he goes, what gift shall I give? I goes, I don't know, risalat. He goes, no, he gave him a phone, you know, the new something, and I goes, Yara, what are you doing, man? And he goes, what can I do? You know, he's been pestering me for that as well. And he's gone out and bought him a £300-400 phone. What is he going to do with that phone? Like you said, this guy could not, you know, withhold the temptations of the shaitan. I mean, in Makkah Park, you know, what chances have you got in Bradford or in England? You know, so we need to really think to ourselves that the shaitan's really cunning. And, you know, another thing, you know, something for the viewers is that, you know, for ourselves as well, that there's a very beautiful wazifa that Sahal Tustari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was given by his uncle. And that wazifa was that, my son, whenever you do something, always think Allah ta'ala is watching you.
Yeah.
You had this sticker printed by Maktabatul Madina, Allah dekh raha hai, Allah is watching. You know, we definitely need that sticker everywhere. And then always think to yourself, Kiraman Katibin, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran that, you know, whatever you do, these Kiraman Katibin are there waiting to write things down.
I remember when Alhamdulillah Dawat Islami a few years ago first printed this Allah Dekra. You remember the little card things? So I stuck it over the television, right over it. So you couldn't miss it. So, and it was really because obviously we live in a big family setup. So if anybody wants to watch anything wrong, and it was on the ceiling, just above the ceiling, because it was live TV. So I thought, nobody's going to take it off. They're going to have to go to effort to take it off. Then they're going to have to explain to me why they're taking it off. Yeah. So I stuck it there, and I thought, if they watch something, yeah, that is not right, it's going to play on their conscience, that openly ka Allah dekhra, yeah, and you couldn't miss it. And these are the things. And I want to move to the afsar. I want to move to tactics and, you know, practical things.
Sure.
What happens is this, like you very beautifully said, don't go into this, I trust my children. Children are very vulnerable. You need to not trust them. You need to guide them and nurture them in a beautiful way. Now, if you provide them with the right tools, then when they grow up, they will be strong. There is a certain time when they're young, then they need your guidance. And from a young age, if you can instill in them and control it. Now, for example, the example I gave of one of my relatives who put the, you know, for the daughters, put the screen, the computer screen there, and said, do all your homework there. This computer stays here. This is the only device, yeah? Now, that kind of worked well at that age. Obviously, when they got older, they're going to need that. Then the other thing is, at night, when it's bedtime, turn off the internet. If your children at that age, where they may be in their bedrooms texting or sending messages or looking at the wrong thing, turn off the internet if they're older. Then there are a lot more things that you can do. For example, I'll share with you a little secret that I've done.
Yeah.
I used to have there's a friend of mine in Bolton, and he rang me one day many, many years ago, and he said, Harun Bey, I've got you something. I said, what? And I think Cricket World Cup was on. So he said, I've got you a chip box. And they usually cost about 120 quid, but I managed to do a deal. I bought two for 80 quid each, yeah? So I says to him, and I was quite blunt with him. I says, Tira the Mahrabi, yeah, but mine isn't, you know? And he said, why? I says, well, at the time, this is a few years ago, my children were only like 7, 8, 9, that sort of age. And his daughters were 14, 15, 16, that sort of age. So I says, look, Tira the Mahrabi, because I wouldn't bring that into my house, and my children are young. You're going to put these chip boxes in your house. So I says, and he put the phone down on me. And so I said, look, I haven't said anything wrong. Yeah, I've said it for the sake of Allah and His beloved Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'll make it up to him. He'll come around. After 2 or 3 days, he rang me back and he goes, Harun Bey, jazakallah khair for your advice. I really took it. I went back to the shop And I realized I was making a big mistake. I said to the shopkeeper, I want to return these. And he said, you can't return them. There's no refund policy. Because obviously these are backstreet shops, isn't it? I said, okay, you keep the boxes, you keep the money. I don't want anything. So now I've just got Madni Channel. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So that's another example.
And they don't come cheap though. You know, I can remember someone was talking and he was like, boasting, I pay £75. And you think to yourself, £75 you pay just
for a subscription.
For a subscription.
It's just beggar's belief. Then the other thing that, so basically, make sure you get, if you're going to do it, get a box where it only gives you Madni Channel and very little else. It stops the kids because they haven't got anything to watch, the temptation. So when you're not there, they can't do it. But the other one recently that I've done, which I have felt gives me more control, is that, and this is the reason I'm kind of, people could benefit from this, is on my main TV, I've got no dish. I've got nothing connected. What I've done is simply connected the internet, but logged in on my account. So I've created a YouTube account,
mm-hmm.
and I've logged in on there, right? And I'm logged
in. You get a full report.
I get a full report.
Yeah.
Nobody can watch anything on my TV without me knowing exactly what they've watched. And if somebody logs me out as well, it comes up straight away, you've been logged out onto my phone.
Yeah.
So at home, Alhamdulillah, I've got a large TV, but nobody can watch. I can tell wherever I am, I know exactly what everybody's doing. There are no TVs in the bedrooms, nothing. And so I know 24/7.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, mashallah, azawajal. You are watching our program tonight with Madani Channel. For those Islam brothers who just joined us, and we were discussing about our topic, sinning in secret. You talked about how the shaitan can mislead a person, how the shaitan can trap a person into committing these sins. And sometimes, you know, Allah Hazrat Imam Ali Sunnat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he talks about iman, that someone who thinks that his iman is safe, then that person may lose his iman at the time of his death. Never ever think to yourself that, the shaitan can't do anything to me, it's okay, I can do whatever I want, you know, my children are very educated, they can't be, you know, we've had so many instances, you mentioned about that Buzurg of Bani Israel, you know, he was mustajab al da'awat, someone whose du'as were accepted in the court of Allah, yet the shaitan, you know, trapped him and he died as a kafir.
On the way in, I was listening to a beautiful bayan and they were talking about Hazrat Ghusay Azam radiallahu ta'ala and the famous waqia, how the shaitan came in the form of a cloud and said, I am your Lord, I've accepted your ibadat. And Hazrat Sayyidi Ghusay Azam radiallahu ta'ala read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and the cloud burst open and he said, I am the shaitan. And you know, at the end, once that Hazrat Sayyidi Ghusay Azam radiallahu ta'ala had revealed his cunning plan, what did he do? He said, Abdul Qadir, I've led astray 313 walis by this very tactic. But what has happened is actually you have been saved by your knowledge.
Mm.
So he's just done this very cunning plan and he's executed it. It's not worked on the great Shaykh here. So what does he say? He says, it's actually your knowledge that has saved you. And so anybody else would have think, yes, my knowledge. But Sayyidi Ghusay Azam radiallahu ta'ala, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, it's a high status that they have. Mm-hmm. They said, okay, this is your second attack. Because now you want me to be proud of my knowledge. It is not the knowledge that saves people. And some of the ulama kiram say that, if knowledge was to save, and the shaitan had a lot of knowledge. Sayyidi Ghusay Azam radiallahu ta'ala said that it is the fazl, it is the mercy and the blessings of Allah azza wa jalla that has saved me. And so this is what you need. And I want to move on to a separate category now. Because the first advice that we gave, Hafsab, was for the youngsters.
Yes.
You as a parent have to control it. This is part of your parental responsibility.
Yes.
You have to make sure you know what your children are watching, you know what your children are doing, you know how your children are behaving. This is your parental responsibility. And work is no excuse. Or if the mother says, I'm too busy, that is no excuse. And how you do that from an early age, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, the Madni environment of Dawat Islami will help you. You have to do it. But you can take a horse to water, you can't make it drink. Dawat Islami, Amir al-Sunnah, can provide us with a beautiful environment. Now, those who take advantage of that will benefit from it. You know, if you've got your daughters, if they're 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, if the mother sits down with them and says, online, there's an ijtima, let's do that. enroll on the Fezzane, what is it, Fezzane Weekend? Fezzan Weekend course.
Yes.
You can enroll on that, and you know, daughters are doing it. Alhamdulillah, my daughter attends the Ijtimaz, and she has classes every night, and she attends the weekend courses as well. And so does my son as well. So this is what you've got to do at that early age. It's your responsibility. Yeah. At home, like I said, I've got strict control. Even now I'm sat here, I could check what is on at home. Yeah. And so this is what you have to do, because you get to a certain age. Now I want to move on to the next category. When they get to 13, 14 and 15, I won't be able to do these things.
Yeah.
Right? I've tried to do whatever I could. Now at that next stage, I've got to work with them and give them guidance. Now, for those youngsters who are in the habit of committing sins in secret, you've got to break this chain. First of all, you've got to realize that repentance in the court of Allah is most important. You know, one of the biggest waswasas of the shaitan, I've just looked at the wrong thing on here, so I cannot now read my namaz. This is the magical portion that the shaitan has.
Yes,
it works with even the big ones, honestly.
Yes,
and it is such a deception. And it's one of his cunning deceptions that he you know, very low. They think, right, I've committed a guna. For example, let me give you an example. The viewers of Madni Channel will be able to relate to this. I had an argument with Hafizab today, therefore I'll miss my salah. I had an argument with my parents today, I'll miss my salah. I had an argument with my brother today, and I had lost my temper, and I was effing and blinding, whatever. Yeah? And then the shaitan says, now how can you read your namaz? Well, hang on a minute, if you've got a disease, and that disease is getting worse, are you going to take the medication for it or not? And namaz is a medication, the cure. So this is what the shaitan does. So the fundamental beginning point for the youth out there, for the youngsters out there, whether it's our daughters, our boys, is carry on reading namaz, turn and make sure you do dua. Even if you didn't sin, and then constantly repent. You know, there's many hadith in Mubarakah. You know, sometimes the shaitan gives us this real powerful thing. We're saying, I'm too ashamed and embarrassed to turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. That is actually a waswasa of the shaitan.
That is something good, that you know, you are scared of Allah Azza wa Jal. You've got the guilt inside yourself. You know, instead of putting that into a negative thing, make it a positive. That look, you know, I feel ashamed in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now it's time that I repent in the court of Allah.
Repent in the court of Allah. And you know what happens with sin? It's a very psychological thing, and that reminds me. I need you to come back to the psychological elements of this as well. Once the shaitan gets hold of you and the nafs get hold of you, you're on a high. It's like when you're really, really hungry, yeah. When you're really, really hungry, you eat anything you can see. As Khalid Bhai says, seafood. You know, if I can see it, I'll eat it. And then what happens is, when you finish the meal, for a couple of hours after, if somebody offered you another meal, would you have it? No matter how tasty it is, you wouldn't, would you? So at that stage, you go through this phase where you say, yeah, next time I'm not going to eat that much. Yeah? Well, what the shaitan does is, once you have fulfilled your appetite, of whether it's looking at the wrong thing or whatever, because this is an appetite. You know, the shaitan's created. Yes. Some people, they have this thing where they have this urge that every night they have to look at the wrong thing before they go. They have to fulfill that quota. So the shaitan's got you trapped there. You've got to fulfill this quota. Now, you've got to break this chain. Now, psychologically, to break this chain, you've got to think about it and stand back, step back and think, what am I doing? Once you've analyzed it, what you're doing is letting the shaitan take over your emotions. Say, for example, I have spent the night looking at the wrong thing. Now in the morning, I feel guilty, don't I?
Do.
Right. At that time, as soon as you feel guilty, repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal straight away. Straight away. Don't let the shaitan stop you. Say, Ya Allah, I will never do it again. I am sincerely remorseful. Toba karton. The shara'at of toba. What happens if the next night you do it again?
Do toba again.
You get up in the morning and you think, yeah, I have done it again. You do toba again. And this is the key. To break that chain, you have to keep hold of the rope. If I'm falling into a pit and I've only got ropes to hang on, yeah? Now what the shaitan's saying is, well, he's falling in a pit, but he's got hold of the ropes. Make him let go of the ropes. What is the ropes? Salah, Tawbah, through the path. These are the ropes that are holding you up. Yeah, you're in a bottomless pit of fire, yeah? Take care. But don't let go of these. And one day what will happen is these will drag you out of there. And it's happened to billions of people.
Yeah.
They've kept hold of it and namaz has won. Why? Because the shaitan can't battle you. If you stick to your namaz, the shaitan can't. If you stick to repentance, the shaitan can't fight you. If you stick to Durood-e Pak, the shaitan can't fight you. Yes, you will make mistakes. We are here because we will inevitably make mistakes. The difference between those who are successful and those who are not is that the ones who are successful repent in the court of Allah.
You know, for us, especially us sinners, we should each and every single day we should repent. And then Amir Ahle Sunnah has given us a beautiful Madani Inam that before we go to sleep, recite Surah Mulk Sharif, Salatul Tawbah, and you know, repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And make it your habit, and inshallah, as well, keep on repenting, keep on repenting. You know, there's people that, you know, we're talking about sins sometimes, major sins. There was a Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, and he, instead of putting his right foot inside first in his shoe, he put the left one in first. So he thought to himself, you know, what have I done? I've missed the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So for the kafara, he kept fasting for 1 year.
Allah.
12 mahine ke roze, just because he did not act upon the sunnah. Now, you know, we forget the sunnahs, you know, forget the, even the wajibs nowadays. People are committing sins, haram things. And, you know, we've all got to understand that, as, you know, if you, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given you the guidance, go out and help people. You know, this is a very, very good opportunity for us to save the people as well.
The other thing that I want to tell about our topic today, secret sins, yeah, it's very tempting if you're not God conscious.
Yeah.
If you constantly remind yourself that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching. And the way to do that, some scholars say very beautifully, what they say is this, that every day, like Fikr Madina, when you do the Madina and Amad card,
yeah.
You know, at that point, just say to yourself for 5 minutes, Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching me. Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching me. Or constantly during the day, keep repeating that to yourself, especially for my youngsters. You know, once if you do it for 5 minutes every day, or constantly, as soon as you remember, Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching me, that will bring the consciousness. Because it's there, but you have to be reminded of it, so you're reminding yourself. And so for the youngsters, avoid those situations which lead to sin. If you are going out with the boys, every Friday, Saturday night, and inevitably you end up in the wrong places, yeah? And you end up in these, you know,
shisha bars and all.
Well, shisha bars, and there are men and women sat about, and there's all music bellowing out and everything else, yeah? And you know at the end of the night it's not the right environment for you. And I had one brother, I only found out about this last week. He's, mashallah, you know, Daddy Sharif and Imam Sharif and everything else. And he was with his mates, young lad. And he walked into a snooker place. And somebody else saw him there. He walked in with a few of his friends. And when he looked around the environment, the type of people were there, he stayed there for a few minutes, and then he disappeared. So the brother who told me, he said, you know, he goes, I thought he may be going to read namaz or something else. But then he didn't come back. So I asked him. You know, and he said, I walked in, I took one look at the environment, and I thought, Daddy Sharif, Imam Sharif, this is not the place for that.
Subhanallah.
And I went back, I left my mates, I went back home.
Mashallah.
I went back home. And you know, and he's a young man. Young
you know,
man
I can
well.
Remember, Harume, this is, you know, as I say, yonks ago. Yeah, our you know, friends, you know, we went to a cinema. And as soon as we walked, you know, we got into the car park of the cinema. And I was probably about 17, 18 at that time. I wasn't in the mahol. But I was, alhamdulillah, you know, I finished my hifz. I was teaching kids in the madrasa as well. And, you know, as we walked here, you know, we drove into the cinema. You know, everyone was really happy. Aaj ye film lagi, we are going to watch it. And, as you know, my heart started beating really, really fast. And I thought, you know, what's happened, you know. And then something was there that, you know, I started feeling scared that, you know, it doesn't suit me. Hafiz the Quran, you know, I teach kids not to do this. And I'm, you know, I said to him, I goes, look, brother, you know, I'm really sorry, yeah. I don't want you guys to go as well, but I'm definitely not going. So alhamdulillah, that was the first time when I, you know, to a group of friends, I said, no, And I walked away. I said, look, if you want to go ahead, I'm saying to you, don't go. But if you want to go, then I'm not going to go with you.
That's a beautiful point. You know,
sometimes you've got to say no to a woman.
You've got to say no. And for the youngsters, you know, the Quran says that namaz keeps you away from behayai and all the wrong things. And the glorious Quran, you know, it teaches us so much. Because if you stick to your... Say somebody's got a routine of reading namaz. If you go out with the boys at night, and say, for example, you've not gone out with this intention, but at 10, 11 o'clock, the boys think, okay, let's go and nose of 11 o'clock, do some clubbing. You're thinking, I've still got to pray my Isha. I've still got to pray my Fajr. And no way am I, you know, in between them going to put this. And so your conscience will tell you, if you are protecting your salah, and so many brothers that has happened with, they've said that we've kept away from behayai and wrong things because the namaz has protected us.
Alhamdulillah. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, mashallah, today's topic that we were discussing was sinning in secret. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, Harun Bhai talked about some beautiful things as well. So inshallah, make it your intention. You know, even if you commit a million sins, always do tawbah in the court of Allah. Swiftly moving on to our next segment. The next segment is personality of the week. Every week we have a personality that we talk about, and these personalities are the blessed prophets of Allah. So inshallah, let's move towards our next segment, personality of the week.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Tonight with Madani Channel.
Personality of the week, and today we're going to be talking about the great personality of one of the greatest prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal, mentioned inside the glorious Quran many times. It's the personality of Hazrat Sayyidina Yahya ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, Yahya bin Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. Let me just tell you the story that comes inside the blessed Quran. Hazrat Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam is the custodian of Baitul Maqdis, and he went once into the room of Sayyidah Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he saw all these different types of fruit, and the season was not for them fruits. So Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, he was about 80 years old at that time, and he didn't have any children. And Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, when he says that, "Yo Maryam, where did you get these fruits from?" And she says that these are from Allah Azza wa Jal. And these fruits, like I said, they were not the fruits that were, you know, ripe at that time. So Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that if Allah Ta'ala can give fruits that is not the season, Allah Ta'ala can give me a child.
Subhanallah.
So in that place, you know, Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, he made a dua. And he says, "Oh Allah, give me a blessed son." And Allah Azza wa Jal accepted the dua of Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam and blessed him with a beautiful son. And Allah Ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran as well, Yahya his name was going to be. So Allah Azza wa Jal gives a name to Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam that his name will be Yahya. And not only that, he will be a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now the scholars, they talk about that, you know, people sometimes, you know, the shaitan can whisper and say that, yeah, how you shouldn't go to these, you know, so-called peer sahab, zahe, waghara, na jaya karo, always ask directly from Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, that place, Zakariya alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah. Baitul Maqdis is one of the blessed places, the third holy site in Islam. Yet, that room where Sayyida Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha was, he made a dua in there with the intention that Allah Ta'ala will bless me as well. You know, so he says that when we go to these personalities, these great saints of Allah, prophets of Allah, make dua in the court of Allah, so that Allah Ta'ala will accept your dua. Hazrat Sayyidina Yahya ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned 5 times in the glorious Quran. And he is the only prophet whose name was chosen for him exclusively by Allah. So Allah Ta'ala gave him his name, Yahya. The name Yahya, it means he lives. Hazrat Qatada radiallahu anhu says This name was given to him because Allah had given him the inner life through Iman and Nabuwat. Some say it was because Allah Ta'ala brought people to life by guiding them through Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. Yahya alayhi salam was born 6 months before Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And they say that Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam was also born premature as well. His mother was the sister of Hana, who was the mother of Sayyida Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. When supplicating for a child, Zakariya alayhi salam had specifically asked for a pure child. This is another thing that the scholars, they mention that if you ask for children, agar Allah ta'ala ki bargah mein dua karni hai na aulad ke liye, then ask Allah azza wa jal for pious children, and then with afiyat as well. You know, not with operation, wagara aajkal maamulat hain. So always ask Allah Azza wa Jal for a pious aulad. You know, some people say ke bas ye se putr chahina, you know, rat lai uniya putr chahina. Always the Amir al-Islam mentions one waqia where this rich man, he doesn't have any children, and you know, someone advises him that go to the Kaaba near Maqam Ibrahim, make dua, Allah will give you a son. So he goes near Maqam Ibrahim, makes the dua, Ya Allah, I need a son, give me a son. So Allah Ta'ala blessed him with a son, but his tarbiyat wasn't good. You know, basically his son, he was, you know, into the wrong crowd, became a drug dealer, sharabi. Now what happened was how the tide turned. That same father who went to Maqam Ibrahim to make dua for a son, now that same son was given advice by someone, the only way that you can get rid of your dad is go to Maqam Ibrahim, make bad dua for your dad, you know, and then you can get rid of him. So he went to Maqam Ibrahim, made Allah a dua Allah. That Ya Allah, take my father away, only for what? So that he can take his wealth. Now my dear Islam brothers, whenever we make dua, always make dua for pious children as well. In the infancy, Yahya alayhi salam was instructed by Allah Azza wa Jal to adhere and abide to the teachings of the Torah. He was also given the duty of propagating and communicating it to the people. Yahya alayhi salam preferred solitude to company. He ate leaves of trees and sometimes locusts, grasshoppers, and drank the water of springs. He kept much from the fear of Allah. And he says that Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam used to cry so much in the fear of Allah that there were line streaks on his cheeks. There are some narrations that Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam's mazar-e-paak or his blessed head is in Damascus in Syria. So alhamdulillah, so that, you know, if you want to read about the life of Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam and Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, then Surah Maryam is the surah to read. And alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala mentions about Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam's birth and how he gave him prophethood as well. MashaAllah. Ji, Pyare Islam Bhaiyo, alhamdulillah, Azawajal. Next segment is our segment of Book of the Week. And Harun Bhai cannot wait to start that, inshallah, Azawajal. Ji, so let's go towards our next segment, which is Book of the Week.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Tonight with Madani Channel.
MashaAllah, Azawajal. Ji, Harun Bhai, which book are we talking about
today? Alhamdulillah, the book we've got today is The Pious Predecessors and Their Tales. So, Allahu Alam ki baatein, the tales of the pious predecessors.
Subhanallah.
Now, the stories of our pious predecessors are very, very important because these are people, the glorious Quran tells us, ke ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. And the translation from Kanzul Iman of this beautiful ayah mubarakah is that pay attention, pay heed. Indeed upon the friends of Allah Azza wa Jal is neither any fear nor any grief. These are these amazing people. And what Amir al-Sunnah and Dawat Islami have done is created a series of books which have the beautiful tales of these pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, as you were mentioning with Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam, you know, Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam arrived at the Hujra Mubarak of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha was a waliya of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Subhanallah.
And we're talking about, in this book, we're talking about the walis of Allah Azza wa Jal. This book is truly amazing because what it does is, we don't recognize this, but obviously all the Sahaba Ikram were walis of Allah. So what this book beautifully does is start, because when we say walis of Allah, we straight away we think of the great hasties like Sayyidina Data Ali Hajveri Rahmatullah Alayhi or Sayyidina Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz Rahmatullah Alayhi or these great, you know, walis of Allah. But what we don't think is that these pious people, Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, or you know, the Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, Hazrat Asif bin Bakhir radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was in the court of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. These are all Walis, and every Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal had within their ummah many Walis of Allah Azza wa Jal. So what this book does is it takes the stories of the Sahaba Ikram that we can learn lessons from. It takes the stories of the pious predecessors, the Tabi'een. And the Tabi'een are those people who came after the Sahaba Ikram. They saw the Sahaba Ikram, but they did not see Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Taba Tabi'een, these are the people who saw those who saw the Sahaba Ikram, but didn't. And so this is how the Silsila is. And then the great Walis of Allah. So it starts very beautifully. And there are many, many jilds to this. And I would recommend that, you know, it increases your wisdom, it increases your intellect by all these great stories of our pious predecessors. And like I said, it starts off in the early jilds with this Sahaba Ikram and how their stories is. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that anybody who follows any one of my Sahabis will be guided.
Subhanallah.
And so you have a lot of vaqiyat in this in relation to great stories which from which we can take a lesson. A lot of people like those kind of stories which have a moral lesson at the end, which give you a teaching, and it has a bit of a storyline to it, because we're kind of almost enjoy stories. This is the book for you. You can download it free at dawatislami.net, and alhamdulillah, it will give you a great treasure.
Let your iman go up as well. You know, instead of watching the TV, apart from Madani Channel, Madani Channel takso, inshallah, your iman will go up as well. But if you're not watching TV, I would recommend the people to either download this book, Allah Walu Ki Baatein. Yeah, it's in Urdu, but there's many other books that are in English as well. But because specifically we're talking about this, I've got this book, and seriously, you don't want to put this book down. You know, there's one story after the other, and the moral lesson, so much that you can learn from this. You know, one of the best ways that Amir al-Sunnah says that we should be reading books is not just read through them or scan them. Yeah, try to read the book as you can hear yourself. And then also every book of Dawat Islami that's published, you know, there's there's a page where you have empty boxes where you can put page number and add the title. For example, if you just read a story about a Wali Allah who used to walk on water, that's an exciting story though. So what you do is straight away in the front cover, yeah, it'll say page number, write the page number down. And what is the story? Walking on water. You know, just write that down. So next time when you want to read this story to someone or you want to read it again, all you got to do is just go to the index that you've written. And alhamdulillah, I've done that with a lot of books, and it's really exciting. You know, because you're preparing your bayans, and it's really, really helping, you know.
There are different ways you can read different books, Hafsab. And, you know, alhamdulillah, I've had the privilege of trying to read a lot because of the job I'm in and everything. And there are two ways. This is very, very important. There are certain books, like, for example, Allah Walum Ki Baatein. You can skim read, pick up the main thrust of it, and you enjoy it, and you've gone through, and you might get 10 stories before you go to bed in half an hour. But then there are other books which, if you actually read and understand and take your time, you will be mesmerized by them. Let me give you an example. When it comes to the translation of the Glorious Quran and Siratul Jinan Sharif, don't go through it fast. Take your time, think about and ponder upon the ayat of the Quran in your life and think, look at what the Quran says, look what Mufti Sahib says, I need to do that. Yakin karenke, you will not be able to put it down. You know, there are brothers who honestly say that in the morning sometimes we needed to go to work, and yet we used to pick up the Quran and the translation, the commentary. And we were getting late for work. We're thinking, Ikur ayat, you know, because it was so much. And during the day, these brothers are saying, you know what's going around in my head?
that,
you know, all day in my head was playing the Ayah Mubarakah and the Tafsir that I'd read in the morning. And it played on your mind. And you're actually looking forward to the next day to get it. And this is where you've got to enjoy it.
Why not, you know, come into a routine now that, you know, before you go to sleep as a whole family, you know, take these books. Obviously, if you've got children, they understand English. Get an English book, sit them down and go through. You know, for example, we talked about Quranic wonders. A beautiful, you know, a wonderful book. Yeah. Sit down, go through that as well. And then also, you know, if you want to learn knowledge, fundamental teachings of Islam, that's what we're teaching the madrasa. Mm-hmm. Go through each chapter of them and, you know, have a quiz, have something there.
Yes.
And what I used to do was, alhamdulillah, you know, my nieces and my nephews, they've got children, yeah. And what I used to do was, you know, we used to go on Zoom, and all about 10, 11 families used to come on Zoom. We used to do quiz, you know, question and answers, hangman. I used to say, chalo, putra, it's bedtime now. Mahmood, just a few minutes more. And we enjoyed this. We used to log out of Zoom and log back in again because it only gives you 40 minutes because we're the freebies, aren't we? So, alhamdulillah, it was amazing. It was beautiful. Alhamdulillah. Pyar Islam bhaiyo, sadly, we're at the end of our time for today. Jazakallah khaira. See you next week, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Let your heart shine bright. Let